Amen. It's good to be here this evening. I'm glad all of you are found your way to the house of God. We're glad to have visitors. Good to have good crowds on the bus and Bible clubs. And it's looking forward to what God would have for us this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. We'll continue our studies this evening through the book of 1 Corinthians. It's been a good travel and journey through it. And we're all the way to number 14 this evening. Chapter 14. Apostle Paul, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, gives us some regulatory guidelines for tongues. At this particular time, when we get into it, you remember chapter 12, 13, and 14 all deal with spiritual gifts. And some folks throw this argument out. Why did not Paul directly forbid it in any of these chapters? And we learned last week in chapter 13, particularly in verse number 8, is because there would come a time of cessation of tongues and knowledge and prophecy, but it had not yet come to that point. This book here was written somewhere around AD 59, AD 60. The last book of the Bible, as far as we can tell, was written around AD 96, 97, somewhere around in there. And so, but for 1900 years or a little more, there's been no more prophecy, no more book, no more Bible that has been closed and canon and complete. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13, 8, so that which is perfect is come. So at this particular time in biblical history, there was no need for it. But you have noticed that it tightens and tightens and tightens as Paul goes through it. And there was a problem with it. I want to tell you, in 1 Corinthians, in the church of Corinth, there was a problem. But they had other problems. Many other problems besides this. We've noticed that in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul has straightened out a lot of things, which is amazing. We still have some of those same problems in churches today. Why? Preacher, why would that be? Because people are human. And for some reason or another, we don't learn too well from history. We don't learn from someone else making that mistake. Well, I tell you, I wish there was times in my life I'd just listened to what other people had done or watched and observed a little closer, and I wouldn't have made the same mistakes. I'm just telling you, I haven't done well there. But there's been times that I said, oh, it didn't go too well for them, and I'm not smart as they are, so I'm not going down that route. And so I have learned from it, and you know, that is good for us as a church to have a good, sound, absolute authority on consequences. And there were some definite consequences to the bad teachings and heresies and doctrines that were not followed right in the book of 1 Corinthians. So we can look at them and we can learn from them and we can just follow along and say, wow, if that happened to the church of Corinth, made up of saved, called out, baptized believers, then it can certainly happen here. So we're not going to follow that route. We're going to learn from that and go a different route. So we understand that. Now, chapter 12, we found out that tongues was actually the last one on the spiritual gift list. Isn't that amazing? Then chapter 13, we found out that it was a temporary gift. So it just keeps on going down the line there as we see that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14 will be in verse number 1. We'll read only down to verse 14 tonight for the sake of time. And again, certainly we are thankful that all of you are here. Be in prayer for those that could not be here, those that are working, traveling, sick, whatever the case may be. Be in prayer for them. If they're playing golf, ask that God not allow them to get a good score, that they can come back and brag. Well, you know, I didn't come to church, but I scored a 69. Pray that it's 169. If they're catching fish tonight, pray that it's just little bitty minnows and they have to put them back. If they're huge things, they'd be bragging. See, you don't have to be in church. You can still catch fish. Sure you can. Listen, church is not going to get you to heaven. But those who know Christ as personal Lord and Savior, they sure like being in church. They really do. And so be in prayer for those who could not be here because if they're working or sick or whatever, we certainly understand that. 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that he may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. Verse 7. And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known that is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be as barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Remember way back when we first started the book, 1 Corinthians, Paul said this about them, that you come behind in no manner, no way behind, in spiritual gifts. You're like second to none. He said that. But then right here in this chapter, he says unto them in verse 12, even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So here as we get into this chapter 14 and we begin to look at it, we notice some things first and foremost in verses 1 through 5. You notice that prophesying results in something, and it results in edification. It results in a buildup. It results in making someone better off than they were. Now, we have had a pretty bad year in the high school sports programs that I'm involved with. Not been to the best. The results have not been as we would like, to say the least. What we have, we've done well. And this is what I've told the young men. I told them this, and the other coaches as well. They said, look, all we expect is that when you begin here at a certain level, by the end of the season, we need you to have gotten better. We need you to have increased in effort, in knowledge, in understanding. I tell them this all the time. There's three things you got to do. You've got to listen, you've got to understand, and you've got to execute. And if you will not follow those three things, you cannot grow. Well, that applies to all things in life. It really does. In our Christian walk, listen, God does not expect us, the moment we get saved, to become a perfect, mature Christian.
He looks at us as babes in Christ. He looks at us as newborn babes. And he says we should desire the word that we may grow thereby. And so what God expects, because he's giving us the ultimate teacher of teachers, the Holy Spirit of God, lives inside us. And he's the author of this book. And so what he desires is that in our Christian life, that when we go by week, month by month, year by year, he desires that when we evaluate ourselves and we look back at our life, that we have grown closer to him. And that's what he desired. He did not expect that when Paul founded and organized the church at Corinth, that it would be without problems. God didn't expect that, and neither did Paul. And any man of God understands when he gets into a situation that there's going to be problem areas. There's going to be people who have different baggage and doctrinal beliefs that as they come forward. But what you expect, though, is that as you preach and teach the Word of God, there is an edification, there's a build-up, there's a growth that they are growing closer in line with that authority. Listen, the authority is not in the pastor. The authority is not in our deacons. It's not in our creeds or our organizations. We have to get to the point and understand that the authority, absolute authority, is in the Word of God. And that's what's going to build us up. Who's the chief cornerstone? The Lord Jesus Christ. And there's been a good foundation laid. I have no idea why we're trying to build new foundations. But that is the foundation, probably the most difficult part of a building to build. Dig the footers, dig it out, level it out, bring cement in, get it in. To me, that to me be the most difficult part. Well, the foundation has been laid. There's no need to build a new foundation. We need to build thereupon a good foundation, a good building, framed, perfectly fit, that is glorifying to God. But they had these problems. Paul said, listen, prophecy is a much better gift. Much better gift. Follow after charity. We remember last chapter, verse 13 of the last chapter. And now, abide in faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity. Why? It's the greatest. And desire spiritual gifts. Hey, desire them. Why? Because spiritual gifts, remember that I told you this Sunday night? Spiritual gifts glorify God. Natural gifts glorify man. Well, they're like, oh, look at the Lord. Boy, he sure can speak. Man, look at the words of enticement that he can lay out. Hey, a prepared heart. I read this quote today. A prepared heart is far greater than a prepared message. Too many times. I forget the. I wish I'd have remembered who wrote that. I want to say E.M. Bounds, but I'm sorry, I don't remember. But as I begin to ponder that, you know, that's my job, prepare messages. Too often, that's all we do. Prepare a message. Well, too often, church, what we do, we prepare to come here to preach. We should come to hear the Spirit of God speak. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. That makes a big difference. Because preachers are different. And I have not yet met one preacher that is exactly the same. Now, I've seen some preachers that have tried to copy other preachers. They say the same thing. They act the same mannerisms. And you know, iron sharpeneth iron. There's nothing wrong with that. But they're different. They are different. Very different. I want to preach like that. If God, by some means, says, well, it's time for you to move to another state or somewhere, and your job's moving you, and you say, well, I'm going there. Well, I got a preacher. I got to find a preacher just like my preacher. Then stay where you're at. Then ain't God moving you. Because you're not going to find a preacher just like their preacher. But if you're going to church to hear the Spirit speak, hey, the messenger is secondary. And a lot of messengers, we need to remain secondary. We need to remain. We need to, when it's all said and done, did you hear from God? builds up, it edifies.
Verse number 1, Paul advised them that they should desire a gift for prophecy. Romans 12:6 says, having then the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. 1 Thessalonians says like this, chapter 5, despise not prophesying. Hey, it builds up. It's needful. Hey, everything in church should point to the preaching of the Word of God. Because I'm telling you this, songs may move. Giving and worshiping and offering is proper and obeyed. It has its place. You're laying out. You say, Lord, it's all yours. Here it is. That's yours, Lord. It has its place. But if that's all you're here to do is to sing a song and to give and not to receive from God, you have missed the point of the assembly of the body of believers together. We're here to huddle up that we might get built upon by the Word of God and laid upon the Word of God on our hearts and applied to our life, that we might go out and be better for it. Because Christian, you know, listen, songs fail. Never once have I read here one time that song shall remain, but heaven and earth is going to pass away. But you know what I have heard, read, seen? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not, it'll abide forever. That's what we need, the Word of God. It builds up. Now I tell you this, verse number 2, it says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he's speaking mysteries. Who did they speak to when they were speaking in an unknown tongue? Listen, tongues were, that was a known language, somebody. So it was unknown to those that was around. This is amazing. God has no problem understanding any language. Any language whatsoever. God understands them all. German is not an unknown dialect or unknown tongue to God. But if somebody stood up here right now and began to speak German, it wouldn't help us at all. You'd be saying, Pastor, look, I worked hard all week. I'm tired. My back aches. My bunions hurt. My corns are rubbed raw. Pastor, listen, I've got kids who've got homework. Pastor, listen, I could have been doing a whole bunch of more things than coming to hear somebody speak German. That's what was going on. You didn't come here to hear German. You come here to hear redneck. You came because you have a desire to hear the Word of God. What's wrong? What's going on here? Who are you speaking to? Verse 3, look at verse 3. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Boy, that's what we need, isn't it? Prophecy provides edification, that build up. It provides that exhortation, that take another step. Yes, you can. I know you had a hard week. I know it was difficult. I know that, sometimes your kids don't listen. Sometimes they're disobedient, but so are we. Disobedient all the time to God. Amen. He don't put the boot on us and put us out in the road. Unless the Holy Spirit of God dig in our life and our heart and convict and draws and woos us to say, hey, you get right and we can have fellowship. And that's the way it should be with our children. You get right and we can have fellowship. An exhortation. I know you've been, I know. You've had a hard week. I know it's difficult to come on a Sunday, a Wednesday evening, and fight this crazy traffic in Orlando. So I know what you need. You need that build-up. You need that exhortation. Hey, some of you may have been fighting on your way to church, but your kids already need some comfort. Say, hey, you're doing right. You're not their buddy or their parent. Hey, kids, listen. That's your mom and dad, and they deserve respect. Honor. I know you need comfort. Some of you might have a aunt or an uncle, a grandma, a grandpa, a grandson, a grandchild that's sick tonight, and you need some comfort. That's what preaching does. And somebody here speaking French tonight won't do nothing for you. Nothing at all. Which is good.
Sure is good when I leave out here and I've been encouraged. My gas tank's got a little bit of gas put in it, spiritual gas, and I can go on to something. And this economy is bad. Some of you might be facing job problems. You need some comfort. Some comfort. Verse number 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Tongues does not build up the church. It does not. Later on you'll see, not this week, but later on you'll see, Paul said, I wish all of you speak in tongues. It wasn't no Bible. Paul was a very educated man. You know why he said that? Because in your travels, if you run across somebody, you share the gospel with them. You know what the amazing thing is? When it gets over here, it's talking about speaking in tongues, but over in the book of Acts, it talks about they heard. There was no speaking in tongues in Acts. They heard every man in his own language. Here, Paul's talking about speaking in tongues. And it's trying to correct it. Trying to fix it. It still had its place in the book of Corinth. There was still a need. But you know, as we get on down, not next week, but the week after, notice what Paul's going to tell us, what the Holy Spirit's going to say? I forgot what he's going to say. That's 2 weeks down the road. What's he going to say? Good Lord. It was good, too. And it's so good, I can't go on without telling you. I'm only 45. That can't be happening. It's not funny, Brother Carl. I hope you're laughing way up there. It's going to get better. Well, let's go to verse number 5. Maybe it'll come to me. How did it go that fast? See, that was a rich nugget right there. I'm telling you. And the proverb is true. Riches take wings and fly away. That's not just talking about money either. That was a nugget. Somebody needed that right there. Verse 5. I would that ye shall all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Listen. Prophesying, giving forth the truth of the words of God, far excels somebody standing up and showing that they can speak another language. We have several people right here tonight that can speak different languages. We got some Spanish speakers. We got some Tagalog speakers. Do they speak another language in the Cayman Islands? Where's Sister Ella tonight? She's not here tonight? They speak of it. If all of them stood up and started speaking right now, you know it would be confusion. You know what the Bible says right here in this very same chapter? The very last verse says, let everything be done decently in order. It'd be confusing. Spanish going on back there, Tagalog over there, German, somebody can speak some other language. You know language, Brother John?
No.
3 degrees and no language? You got kids taking Spanish. I think it's required now to take Spanish. Listen, you stood up and everybody did that. There would be no truth for the Word of God going forth. And they could be preaching out of the Bible. Right. Not just talking nonsense. They could all stand up and be reading and preaching and giving a message right out of the same book that I'm giving. It'd be confusion. Be no help there. Be no help at all. None whatsoever. But it'd be all right if we invited somebody in and somebody came up here and they spoke a Russian dialect and we have a translator and they begin to preach and they'd stop and they'd tell us what he said. It could be helpful. Listen, the message of God can be brought from somebody other than speaking English.
Amen.
It can be helpful. We've had Brother Roskina in, and I tell you, he comes in and you have to sit and listen. In his English, but I tell you, he brings some messages. I mean, they are good messages with that hard Indian English there. But I'm telling you, he gets into the Word of God deep. So the first thing we notice in verses 1 through 5, that prophesying builds up, it edifies. Verses 6 through 14, I'm telling you, just tongues stand alone by itself, it brings confusion in an uncertain sound. I mean an uncertain sound. The Bible says in verse 6, "Now brother, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine." And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? Tongues standing alone would be very unprofitable. There would be no comfort. There'd be no edifying. There'd be no, "Oh, Pastor, I'm ready to go and get out there and pass out some tracts tomorrow." There'd be no upbeat in your life. There'd be no joy brought back into you. It'd just be you wasting your time. And we've been wasting the time of someone to invite them in if they could not share with us what is on their heart. Can you imagine a man from a foreign land coming over to America and I invite him in here to preach, and you've studied, he's prayed, he's prepared his heart, his life, and got a message, and he had no way for us to understand it? Be unprofitable. Unprofitable. Be a foolish and uncertain sound, according to verse number 7. Sometimes it happens, not often. I mean, probably 3 times in the 5 years I've been here, Brother Jim will say to us, "Turn to this page," and we'll turn to that page, but the pianist has got another page. She begins to play, and it doesn't go together, does it, Brother Jim? It's uncertain. There's no fit. Hey, at this time, tongues had its place. There was many travelers to Church Corner. Remember, it's a city of commerce. Many people was coming there. They had games. People would come from far to come to these games. Apostle Luke, "Oh man, look at the opportunity that we could use to share the gospel." Verse 8, "For if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" That's what's wrong with the charismatic movement today. It's uncertain sound. It edifies the person, not the church. Did we not read that? Look, "Oh, I'm spiritual. I can speak in an unknown tongue." But they've helped nobody. You know what it says? "I'm spiritual, you're not." You know what it says when we go in our preaching above the heads of our listeners with words that are great and swelling and enticing? I know you can't understand that, but I got in the group that's coming. I can. You need me. You know what it does? It edifies the person. How in the world can we prepare for a battle? Preacher, what battle we're in? Oh, dear friend, we're in a spiritual battle. I mean, Hollywood, our media, our government, ecumenical movement. Man, it's coming in, and if you stand on Bible doctrine, listen, church, listen. You think I'm crazy? They look at our website and say that we believe in the King James Bible as the infallible Word of God without error. Ooh, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong there. There's something definitely wrong over there. You know why? Their foundations have been broken. We're in a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. This video, I just showed it 2 weeks in a row to the teenagers. Any of your adults want it, you need to get this, check it out. It is a good video, reclaiming our culture. Genesis, the key is Ken Ham. Giving an 80-minute thing on reclaiming the foundation. Well, that's a good one. You know the problem with evolution?
we are like animals, animals like us. We go hunting and we kill a deer, and that's okay. We go hunting and we kill a duck, and that's okay. We eat a cow that's been killed at the slaughterhouse, that's okay. Since we're all animals, let's just kill babies anyway. That's the foundation. That's the foundation. Uncertain sound. Preachers get in the pulpit and they dance around these issues. It's uncertain sound. The Bible says in Isaiah they're like dumb dogs that won't bark. Abortion's wrong, my friend. Amen. Marriage between a man and a woman is right. Between a man is wrong. Woman and woman is wrong. Men staying home. What do they call them now? Daddy mamas? And wives going to work? It's wrong. Man! By the sweat of his brow! That's right. Other things, I can go on and on and on. Preacher, that's harsh. No, it's not harsh. That's biblical doctrine. And for too long, we have had uncertain sounds. Let's move on. Y'all getting tired of that one. So likewise, verse 9, ye except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Everybody understands abortion. That's easy to understand. But what happens, we don't want to offend sometimes, so we run around the bush to try to mean abortion. Medical extinction or something. And other things. I don't know, church. I'm just plain as I can be. Plain lame. Isn't that amazing? When the Bible says that we need to be, that prophesying is the best gift, we should rather desire prophesying, then I think what we need to do is just rather take the Bible like it is, as we are. Quit trying to get down in there behind in between the lines and just do what's on the lines. There's a lot on the lines that will sure straighten out our lives, our homes, our families, our churches, keep our kids out of detention centers. It'd keep mamas and dads spending time with their children instead of letting them be babysitted by the television. Listen, they don't need that. They need somebody to spend time with them. They really do. Easy to be understood. And I know sometimes when I'm really easy to be understood, it really makes some of you mad. But you know, the Bible says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So really what happens is you get mad at the Bible. Now if I give you my opinion, then you get mad, then you get mad at me. But when we say the Bible says thus, we have nowhere to run. You know what they do? Say, Lord, shine the light bright. Cleanse me with hyssop. Create me a new heart. That's what we need to say. I'll tell you what helps me when I'm sitting under preaching. I'll tell you, some preachers, they really get where I'm living. Preachers are good at that. I mean, they preach. When I go to preacher's meeting, I go to them once a month. I try to go to one. I missed it yesterday. But I try to go once a month to a preacher's meeting. And I'm telling you, boy, some of the best preachers I've been to, this little country preaching about, they don't know anybody. Nobody knows them. We don't even know we exist sometimes. We're just there to preach. And I'm telling you, they get going. I find myself getting upset. You know what I do? I say, oh, hold up. Lord, help me. If it bothers the flesh, I just need to say, hey, Lord, I'm not yielding in that area. I'm not yielding. I'm not talking some wild thing like if you wear cowboy boots, you're going to hell. If you have a goatee and you're bald-headed, you're not of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about other stuff that's Bible, plain and simple, that my flesh has chosen to overlook. You said, preachers say, yeah, we're men. You say, we're men. Yes, we do.
We do. Next verse. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. Well, we got that, don't we? None of them without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Listen, this is still in the context of speaking in tongues. There are many voices, many languages, many. But you know what the sad thing is? There's so many languages in this world. When a man has opportunity on a national platform, ask whether or not the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven or not, but he dances around it to the end. It's sad. Yeah, preacher, but he has to be very careful because he might lose some of his following. Well, they're not supposed to be our following. They're his sheep. The Bible never says that they shall know my voice. They shall know his voice. They shall follow him. It's the job of the preacher to lift up him. Jesus. To lift up Jesus. Words should be uttered that can be easily understood and without confusion. It challenges people. When the Word of God challenges people to get right with God. Verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in the unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. The Bible says, hey, if you're going to speak, you need to interpret. You need to interpret. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Starts to discourage it, doesn't it? Right here, starting to discourage it. It's coming to a point where, hey, God's going to say, it's time to stop. No more tongues. If you're speaking in tongues tonight, dear friend, let it be a known language. If it's some unknown battle, you're not helping yourself. You're not helping yourself at all. You're not helping others. There's no understanding. None whatsoever. You're building up self. You're building up self.